SBS Radio.
Parivaik, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Thank you, Vahe. Great to be with you.
Hi, ANCA was quite active lately, judging by the regular emails informing about activities and news concerning the Australian Armenian community. Let's start from the latest DFAT's clarification on the Artsakh issue.
Yes, so obviously we've spoken about this before. It's an ongoing topic, really, that we've been trying to get clarification about where Australia stands when it comes to the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict or the issues surrounding the Republic of Artsakh. Previously, we've seen Australia's Department of Foreign Affairs flip-flopping on this issue, and part of the reason was that a minister named Senator Fioravanti Wells visited Baku and made a statement, a speech, that the Department of Foreign Affairs considered official because it was during an official visit to Azerbaijan. And at the time, she was a minister in the government, and that speech was actually on the Department of Foreign Affairs website as well. And in that speech, she basically had said that Australia is a forthright supporter of Azerbaijan's sovereignty and territorial integrity, and it supports Azerbaijan's position on Nagorno-Karabakh. This was a little bit different to what we had been told by DFAT. However, it seemed in an attempt to defend her statements, what they tried to do was basically flip-flop a little bit and not give very straight answers. So the Senate estimates process, where senators are able to ask questions of departments, was an opportunity for clarification to be sought. And then Senator Lee Rhiannon asked some questions, and some of those questions weren't answered on the spot. The Department of Foreign Affairs chose to take them away, discuss them internally, and come back with a written response. And that's what we're reporting on overnight, the written response. And basically what it says is what we expected to say. It's a move away from what Senator Fioravanti Wells said, and it's basically confirming that Australia is a supporter of the OSCE Minsk process, and Australia does not take sides in the conflict. This is where we wanted Australia to be at this stage, because if it doesn't start from equal footing, it's very hard for us or anybody to talk about the rights to self-determination of the Republic of Artsakh, other issues such as the threats of ethnic cleansing, etc., that surround Artsakh, the border skirmishes that are always initiated by Azerbaijan. It's very difficult to create some noise and listening ear from the Australian government when its position is pro-Azeri. So what the Department of Foreign Affairs has confirmed now is that it is not pro-Azeri, it is not pro-Armenian, it is pro the OSCE Minsk process. This is consistent with the Western world, and we trust that now that this has been clarified, the Australian government, through its ministers and other departmental officials, will basically toe this line until we can convince them and explain to them what the other issues are that surrounds this particular part of the world that is quite unfamiliar, I think, to the Australian government to date.
Hi, ANCA's Advocacy Week just ended. What were the main highlights?
This week's Advocacy Week there was a focus on youth, and I think for me anyway, that was the absolute highlight. We were able for the first time to launch a program that attracted pretty wide participation from young people in Australia. The highlight that I'm referring to, we called it the ANCA Youth Advocates Program. We had invited Armenian students and young professionals from across the country to apply to participate in this program, which was going to be 2 days of advocacy training and advocacy practice in Canberra in our nation's parliament. Thankfully, it proved quite popular. About 20 young people applied, and they were young people from not only the typical Armenian hubs of Sydney and Melbourne. We also had participants from the ACT, three of them, in fact, Canberra. We had participants from Perth, and also one, the new ANC New Zealand chairperson from Auckland. So these young people came together, and what we took them through is the Youth Advocates Program. It was initially some theoretical background information on best practice advocacy, how to lobby government on various issues, not just Armenian issues. And this was presented by the professionals amongst the ANCAU National Board who do this for a living or have done this for a living. They included Sasson Grigorian, who's a former advisor to the Premier of New South Wales, Talin Shamalian, who's worked in Australia's Treasury and also for Visa in a government relations capacity, and also Vacek Aramanian, who is my predecessor as the Executive Director of the Armenian National Committee of Australia. Following that theoretical knowledge passing of the baton, so to speak, we took the young advocates to the Parliament House in Canberra, and over there they participated in two primary activities on the first day. The first one was a debate on euthanasia. We chose a non-Armenian topic because we wanted to show that the skill of advocacy, the skill of parliamentary debate, is obviously broader than only Armenian issues. If you know how to debate, know how to advocate, then you will inevitably know how to do those things with Armenian issues as well. Euthanasia is obviously a pretty hot-button topic in Australia at the moment. It's also something familiar to the political leaders of this country. So the debate, the parliamentary discussion that they had in one of the committee rooms was presided over by Joel Fitzgibbon and Trent Zimmerman, who are the co-chairs of the Australia-Armenia Interparliamentary Union. Following that discussion, they participated in advocacy sessions. So we had six politicians who accepted these young advocates into their offices to do some mock advocacy on the issue of euthanasia, but also Armenian issues, including the recognition of the Armenian genocide and also the status of the Republic of Artsakh. We thought it was, all of the young people excelled in all of these activities. And at night, there was a real networking opportunity for them where we had over 25 politicians, many more staffers of politicians, and also media representatives attend the 100th anniversary of Armenia's First Republic reception that was hosted within Parliament House for the first time. So as it stands, what we were able to do was provide exposure to these young advocates who we believe can be future advocates for the Armenian cause, taking our positions potentially. They seemed to enjoy it based on what they said. The second day, they also attended question time in Parliament. They had a politician explain to them what that process is. These were sort of the majority of the highlights with regards to the youth advocates. One of the other highlights was Jason Falinski's speech, where the youth advocates were actually able to attend that speech. Jason Falinski, who's the member for McKellar, he became the fourth member of Parliament in Australia to advocate for Artsakh's rights to self-determination. And he also lended his voice to the motion that we've discussed before, Vahe, regarding the Australia's recognition of the Armenian genocide, which was debated unanimously in favour of by the House of Representatives. Jason Falinski was not a speaker on the 25th of June when that was debated. What he did in his speech, though, is he lended his support to it and called on Australia to formally recognise the Armenian genocide and also spoke in favour of and congratulated Artsakh on the 27th anniversary of Artsakh's independence.
And is this going to be an ongoing program?
Yes, we expect so. It was a very popular one. All the indications are that it will be. Obviously, none of these activities are able to be accomplished without financial commitment from supporters, and the Hagop Kortian Scholarship was actually, we were fortunate enough to have the Kortian family dedicate a portion of the Hagop Kortian Scholarship, which is a $10,000 annual commitment to the ANC's internship program to get young people involved and interested in politics. They dedicated part of that sum towards the inaugural youth advocates program. So if we can manage to dot all the I's and cross all the T's in future years, we absolutely want to see this continue. It's a great way to get young people involved in Australia's political process.
Hayk, shortly after our last interview in July this year, there was a leadership change and Scott Morrison became Prime Minister in August. Because of that change, some of the Federal Armenia-Australia Friendship Group members were appointed to new positions?
Yes. So we had, obviously, with leadership changes, which we've become all too accustomed to in the Australian political scene, they come with other associated changes. And on this occasion, we were fortunate to see a few of our friends in Parliament promoted into pretty important positions. So the ones that I will highlight is Maurice Payne, who was the first chair of an Australia-Armenia parliamentary friendship group all the way back in the early 2000s. She was appointed as the new Foreign Minister of Australia, replacing Julie Bishop. Paul Fletcher was promoted to the Minister for Social Services and Families, which is a significant cabinet portfolio. We also had Tim Wilson, who's a relative newcomer and of Armenian origin, appointed to head the House Standing Committee on Economics, which is an important advisory committee to set Australia's economic agenda. And Erica Betts, the senator who recently lended his voice to the cause of Armenian genocide recognition, was made chair of the Senate Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs and Trade. All of these appointments are quite important in the sense that people who are friends of ours and involved in our issues, vested in our issues, have been appointed into positions of importance within the greater Australian political landscape. Scott Morrison, of course, himself as Prime Minister, we should mention, is not foreign to our cause as well. When he was in opposition, he made a speech calling for Australia to recognise the Armenian genocide. And also, since then, becoming a senior minister within the government, he attended the launch of Australia-Armenia Interparliamentary Union. Over there, you know, he gave a more broader speech. It wasn't focused on the genocide, but it is something that he is quite familiar with, and it's something we're going to test his memory and knowledge on, I'm sure, in coming weeks and months until the next election.
Hayk, the scheduled visit of the Armenian government delegation was delayed. Are you expecting them to visit Australia sometimes in the near future?
Yes, I am. All the indications from the Armenian government is that this delegation, which is something we initiated by asking for a few members of the government to visit so that we can try to deepen relations between Australia and Armenia, because our community, we found, greatly values increasing those relations between Armenia and Australia. So we did facilitate those discussions originally, but the Armenian government actually came to the table by expanding the delegation significantly before they had to postpone it due to the upcoming elections. The fact that they expanded the delegation from the original one or two members that we had taken into account all the way up to a 7 to 9 member delegation shows that the Armenian government is serious about expanding ties with Australia. And I think Australia reciprocally also was ready to accept the Armenian delegation with open arms. There were meetings that were scheduled with the Deputy Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. Michael McCormick, the Foreign Minister of Australia, the Trade Minister of Australia, and also one or two other members of importance in Australia's cabinet. It was going to be quite an important, and also, senior members of the opposition, including Penny Wong, was going to be meeting with the delegation. The importance of those meetings and the high-level nature of those meetings shows that both countries are serious about expanding cooperation. Therefore, to answer your question, absolutely, I think that delegation will take place following a period of what will be a little bit of election instability, natural election instability. Armenia will be going to the polls, we expect, either December or January at the latest. Australia will be going to the polls by May next year. So it's most likely going to happen after both elections, but it'll definitely happen.
Is the opening of an Armenian embassy will be on the agenda?
I'm certain it will be. Without knowing, without actually being given that assurance, I think that would be the natural discussion that occurs when when senior members of two governments meet. If diplomatic representation is not established in a very direct way, that is through an embassy, then obviously that will be part of those discussions. The Armenian government has in the past indicated its decision or intention to have an embassy in Australia. And since the Armenian government has changed since then, the ANC has asked the question whether that intention remains, despite the fact that we have a new prime minister, a new foreign minister, new constitution. And the foreign minister's office has indicated absolutely that that intention remains. However, to make that a reality is not something that is done by the click of the fingers. However, I do believe that once that delegation does come over here to Australia, that will be very high on the agenda of discussion.
Hike, thank you very much for your time and the interview. I know you're very busy.
No, thank you very much, Faye. I appreciate your time.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.